Good morning. Man, you guys are not the partiers, huh? Is that how that works? You guys are the ones who went, I don't care if it's New Year's Eve, I'm going to bed at 8. Yeah. I was not so lucky. It was my daughter's 18th birthday yesterday, and so her friends might still be at my house. So if I just in the middle of everything, just say, hey, John, wake up. My name's John, lead pastor here at Grace. I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. It's a new year, happy new year again. And we're going to start a new series, and we're going to start a series on Elijah. And so I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun digging into God's word, digging into one of God's prophets and seeing how God worked through him. And if you want, you can open up your Bibles. I'll be real, blunt with you. We're not going to spend a lot of time exegeting a text today. And that might be, you might be sitting here going, wait a minute, what? I don't know if I'm okay with that. I am going to read a text to you out of James chapter 5, so you can turn there if you'd like. But what we wanted to do, it's a new year, and it's kind of one of those Sundays. It's the first Sunday of a new series, and we want to introduce it to you. So our goal this morning is to introduce Elijah to you. That's our goal. And not so much to exegete a text. He's a major figure in Scripture, and so we'll hopefully bring that to light. And then over the next many weeks, as we dig into the life of Elijah the prophet and who he is, we will do much more digging into the text. And so so hopefully you're okay with that. If not, I don't know, you can send me emails or something and tell me how upset you are with me, but that's okay. But James chapter 5, he's mentioned throughout Scripture in a number of places. He is a well-known prophet, but even the half-brother of Jesus who wrote James, in verse 17 he says this, Elijah was a human being even as we are. Some versions say just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. God used Elijah. And a lot of times when we read Scripture, I think we read it and going, that person is a special person, not really like me. But this text actually says Elijah is like we are. He's a man. He's a person just like we are. And so that's my hope as we go through this series, that you will realize that Elijah is just a person that God worked through, and you can be that person too. And so, but I don't know if you know this or not, but Scripture actually records that Elijah never died. Did you know that? Scripture actually records that. So I was thinking about, well, how are we going to introduce Elijah to you guys? And it dawned on me that he never died. So he must still be around, right? I mean, there's got to be a way. Like, we don't ever have any history. So I rang up God and said, hey, God, pull a couple strings. I was like, hey, God, can we get Elijah to just come visit our church? You guys think I'm kidding, right? But it's true, I did. And God said yes. So what I want to do is I want to invite Elijah. I think he's around here somewhere. There he is. I want to invite Elijah to come up and join us this morning. So Elijah, why don't you go ahead and come up here on stage? He's kind of old, so he doesn't get around real fast. He never died, right? Remember? So he's been around. So this is Elijah. Can you guys welcome Elijah? Give him a round of applause. And we're going to let Elijah sit on the couch here. And take a seat, and we'll move some of this stuff out of the way, maybe. He just blocked my thing here. Is this your cane, Elijah?
It is.
I'm glad somebody taught you how to use that mic, huh? They didn't have those in your day, did they?
No.
Elijah, you look a little familiar to me. I can't, I've never met you before, I don't think, but you look a little bit like our associate pastor, Jim. Is that?
Well, he must be one good-looking guy.
Well, some think so. At least Wendy does, right? Oh, man. Well, man, welcome. I'm so glad you're here, Elijah. And we just wanted to kind of introduce you to everybody. And we're going to be studying your life. And so we're really excited to have you here this morning. But why don't we get started? Just, you know, who are you? Give us a little insight into who you are. When we read 1 Kings, you just kind of appear out of nowhere. So maybe you can kind of give us an insight about who you are.
Yes, well, I think it says there that I'm a Tishbite. And, you know, there's not a lot, I don't think, recorded about my upbringing because there's not a lot to tell. You know, my family was a humble family, and they farmed like most families, and they did the best they could in the region of Gilead. I was third of seven children, and in big families like that, sometimes you just get lost in the shuffle, and you have to fit in and find a way to survive. The truth was where we farmed in that area became known as Tishba, and so other people started calling those who lived there and farmed there Tishbites. So I can tell you that, you know, Tishbites are, they were hard workers, just common people, and there were a lot of them who loved God and loved one another.
Wow, that's great. Now, I did notice as you came in, I started to begin to think to myself how hipster you look with that beard and gray hair. Hipster means cool. Or really up-to-date, fashionable. The two-tone, I love the two-tone. The gray hair and the. Do you have beard oil in there? Beard wax? No, that's all natural. I'm impressed. Anyways, I was just admiring your looks. You know, like you said, Jim must be a good-looking guy because you know. Anyways, so you show up in 1 Kings, and you're just kind of there all of a sudden, but God does something kind of weird. He sends you off on an expedition, if you will, kind of sends you out into the wilderness. And I like to camp. I like to go backpacking and go on hikes and stuff like that. But when I go backpacking, like I plan, right? Like I bring food with me, and I make sure that I've got enough food to last however long I'm gone. But God didn't do that with you. He just kind of sent you off into the wilderness by a little river and said, go there and I'm going to feed you. What was that like? Talk to us about that experience a little bit.
Ah, yes. The Tishbite expedition. You probably need to know that when I was a teenager, in those teen years, I was just really intrigued and I was fascinated by all of the originality and the creativity that I saw around me. And as I observed all of those things and began to learn about those things, I mean, I came to realize there had to be an intelligent designer behind all of that. And you know, he must have made me along with all the rest of those things that I saw, and as I was so intrigued, I started talking to him about all of the creativity that I saw, and I believe that, I mean, he talked back to me, not in audible words, but I began to feel his presence, and I knew that he was there, and there were times when, you know, he put ideas or images in my mind, and sometimes they were so strong, I knew that they must have come from him, and so my parents told me that they really thought that I had a special gift from God. And my mom especially, she encouraged me to just follow the call of God, you know, wherever he led. So I have to tell you, when I became an early adult, my trust in God grew where I actually believed I trusted God more than I did any other human being that I knew on earth. So when God told me, you know, to go out there to the brook and to go up the Kirith Valley, and he told me, he said he was going to provide for me. I believed him. I got to tell you, you know, while I was out there, I mean, I saw some strange things, but I also saw some incredibly wonderful things. And I talked to God a lot about what I saw.
So that was kind of like a boot camp almost for you. God was getting you ready for what was to come.
Maybe so.
You know, as I read through the text, and it always makes me wonder, you know, God does in Scripture, in the Bible, he tells us a lot about miracles that people do and things that they've done. I've always been curious, you know, because God's never done that through me. You know, I've never parted a sea or healed the sick or anything like that. But I'm just curious, as you kind of, as you left the brook and you go on and you're with a widow that you're led to and that kind of thing, and you're about to do your first miracle, what was that like? How did you know that God was going to do this miracle through you? What was that like as you were felt led to do this miracle? What was that like in your communication with God? How did you know that was what you were supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, let me say, you know, it was a little bit of a lengthy expedition there in Kirith, and so I have to admit, there came a time when I kind of felt like I had seen and experienced about everything there was to see out there, and therefore, you know, I was excited when God actually said to me, "It's time to leave, and you need to move out and head toward that region of Zarephath." I mean, it was kind of exciting to see people again. But as I got more in toward civilization, I started looking for that particular person. God kind of led me toward that poor woman. I mean, I think there was just something in her disposition. There was something about her demeanor. Now make no mistake, this was not my miracle. This was God's miracle. In the same way that he said to me, you know, he was going to provide for me and the birds were going to feed me out there in the valley, he just put the words in my mouth to tell that woman that there was going to be enough food until the next rain came.
Wow. That must have been really, really exciting, especially to see God do that through you. So as I read your story, there's a couple of characters that stand out to me. One of them is Ahab. And he just strikes me as I read the text and watch your interactions with him, and he just pops out at me. Can you talk to us a little bit? Who is Ahab? What was he like in your interactions?
Ah, yes, Ahab. Well, Ahab, you know, was the king of Israel for 22 years, 22 long years. Ahab, you know, don't you? Ahab did more evil in the sight of God than any of the kings before him. What was really sad was King Ahab, he stopped worshiping God. And he turned and worshiped Baal. That seemed like a low point maybe in his life, but Ahab, he was a dedicated warrior. He was always looking for his next conquest. The truth was, I think he often got misled because he liked to surround himself with yes men, and he had that incredible weakness. The weakness for powerful, beautiful foreign queens. That queen Jezebel. He made her his wife. And I guess you could just say that Ahab was an opportunist. And he had very few, if any, convictions and scruples. And unfortunately, that led to a very tragic death. That was even prophesied by the prophet Micaiah.
You know, you mentioned Jezebel, and that's one of the other characters as I read the story of Elijah and your interaction and Jezebel. And talk to us about her a little bit. She pops out too. She's kind of one of those characters that just jumps out of the page at you. You know, what was she like? And talk a little bit about her.
Jezebel. Well, I said she was Ahab's wife. You know, she was actually the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and she was no Israelite. So that meant that Jezebel, well, you know, she worshipped Baal from day one, and she was just a. She was a sneaky, crafty, slimy manipulator. That's what she was.
why don't you just be a little bit more honest? If we could just pull out from you what you really think about Jezebel,
I'm telling you, she had no scruples. she didn't rely so much on her own power or her ability to. She relied on her persuasiveness. And her manipulativeness to get other people to do her dirty work. She was no one to be messed with, let me tell you. And she had no scruples. She had no convictions. She was pure, wicked, and evil.
Well, you know, it's... With all those flattering words, I'm not even sure which question to ask next. It dawns on me though, as you kind of talk about Jezebel, and as I read the story that you kind of come into the story, and 1 Kings presents you as this person. You confront Ahab, but then when it comes to Jezebel, you know, I hate to even bring this up, Elijah, but you're kind of a wimp, man. You like run away like a, you know, not to be politically correct because I won't be, but you know, like a little schoolgirl. It's like you're all afraid of her. What's that all about?
Yes. I have to admit, I told you she was no one to mess with. She could play those mind games. You know, she could get into your head and. And she knew how to play those games really well. Listen, there's something all of you out there ought to know right now. The sooner that you learn your weaknesses and your limitations and you acknowledge those, the better off you'll be. I admit it. It took me a long time to discover and come to grips with my weakness for worry and fear. But let me tell you, Jezebel could expose those. And she did. Well, you know, I'm just like a lot of you out there. I'm just a man. And I got to this place where I started to worry. I mean, I worried that Jezebel was going to find a way to end my life. Probably when I least expected it. I had seen her make good on lots of her threats.
You know, one of the other things that really jumps out at me as I read your story is you seem to be very enthralled with fire. And there seems to be this thing with fire, and perhaps the one story that comes to a lot of people's minds is your confrontation with the prophets of Baal, but there were others. And are you like a pyromaniac? Like, did you play with fire as a kid? Like, what is that all about?
Pyromaniac? I don't know if I've heard that before, but fire, yeah, fire, oh yeah, yeah, fire. Well, That was one of God's best ideas.
Fire?
And one of my brightest days. Yeah. I remember that situation. You know, that was the time when it was just so strong in my head. I mean, God just he planted that idea so firmly. He said, look, now, today's the day. I am going to show everyone who I am. And it took me a little while to get on board with the idea. But then when God came and said to me, you just do what I tell you and I'll take care of the rest, I knew it was going to be some kind of a show. I wasn't going to miss it for the world. So I did what God said. Looking back on it now, I'd have to admit, I probably got a little carried away. You know? I mean, I hadn't had that much fun in years. Calling out those false prophets and watching them squirm and their crazy contortions, it was a lot of fun, and God was just setting up the stage for one incredible light show that night. Man, let me tell you, that was a blast.
Pun intended. Oh man, it's so your story is so. Fun to read and fun to look at and as you kind of went through that fire, you know, there's as I'm really looking forward to when we dig into this, but we have before you go just a couple more questions, two more questions really. First, you never died. At least that seems to be what the text says. So, what was that like? I mean, how did you get that whole deal where you got to avoid death? What was it like to just be brought up to God without having to go through that thing that really most of the rest of us have to experience?
Well, here's what you need to know. Nobody out there should really be that concerned about whether you're going to die. And you really probably shouldn't be that concerned about how you're going to die.
Says the guy who never died. Just
I've been around a while, you know. I've seen lots of things. And I can attest to you that for almost everyone, you're going to die. So don't get all mesmerized and all excited about the fact that I went up in a whirlwind with chariots of fire. It really wasn't that spectacular. But here's the cool thing. Here's the really cool thing. One moment. You're in the here and now on planet Earth, And the next moment, you're in the presence of God.
Very cool.
And that happens in just a second. That's what's important. So you need to be sure yourself today that you're going to go there to be with God when you die. And that comes through your faith in God and in His Son, Jesus.
Amen. Well, I just have one more question. You didn't die. You got taken up in chariots of fire again, just so I point that out. The pyromaniac over here. But so you're going to leave us, you know, God lent you to us today and allowed you to come and to be with us. And so my last question is simply this, are there chariots of fire in the parking lot waiting to bring you back?
Oh, no, no. Nowadays, it's just a simple matter of materialization transformation.
Oh, so it's like, beam me up, God.
Something like that.
Hey, would you guys thank Elijah for coming and joining us this morning? Here you go, old man. Oh, well, it's good to sometimes put some flesh on the characters that we read about in Scripture. It's sometimes I think when we read about them, they're very two-dimensional, and we forget they're real people with real backgrounds, with real interactions and real emotions and real thought processes and all of those things. And so hopefully as we move forward into studying Elijah over the next weeks, this will kind of make Elijah a little bit more 3D for you. You'll remember that he's just a guy, just like the rest of us. And God used him in amazing and miraculous ways. And there's no reason to think that God can't use you and me. There's none. And I think that's what we're going to find as we study Elijah. He wasn't some superhero. He didn't, float above the ground or anything like that. But he was just a person who God used. And so my prayer for us as we go into 2017, right? Yeah, 2017. Got to figure out if I'm saying the right year now. But as we go into 2017, that we would begin to look for how God might use us. I mean, here's a guy that just shows up out of nowhere, grew up in small town, hardworking, salt of the earth kind of guy, and God used him in amazing and miraculous ways. And God's looking to use you in those ways too. And that's why James reminds us, Elijah's just like you. He's just a person. It's the God we serve that's amazing and miraculous and wonderful. Amen. We've been doing this Each One Reach One campaign, and we've been doing it, and we're going to continue to do it. We had a video today that you saw about how my wife had touched somebody with the love of Christ, and you don't have to go to Baltimore to do it, okay? That wasn't the point, but you can do it in all kinds of ways, and as we go forward in this week and in this month and in this year, I hope that you will be taking the opportunity that God gives you to touch somebody with the love of Christ. And that's why I put the cards out there for you. So I want you to take those with you. I just gave one out the other night that was just kind of an impromptu thing that I had an interaction with some people over at Buffalo Wild Wings. I was able to give them a card and we had a good conversation. So I had it in my wallet. That's why I was able to give it out. So grab them, take them. I don't want them on the seats. We'll put more out. Take them with you today. But hey, it's also the first, it's a new year, it's a new series, and I can't think of a better way to begin this year than to celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us when he went to the cross, when he shed his blood for our sins so that we might be forgiven. And so we're going to celebrate communion this morning. So if you're helping with communion, would you please come forward right now? And maybe you guys do New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you do or not.